The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today. Season 6 winner of NBC's hit reality show, The Biggest Loser, Michelle Aguilar, shares her struggle with fear.
I really, truly believed we were this great, picture-perfect Christian family. And my world fell apart when that phone call happened, and my mom calls to tell me that she was leaving my dad. But I ended up putting up a wall of weight, to protect myself from the outside world.
Relationships restored. Next.
You know, there's a real popular television show called The Biggest Loser. By the way, I'm James Robinson. Betty and I, we like to think our show is the biggest winner because we want everybody to be a winner. We really do believe that God wants the best for you. This is an amazing truth. We find life, Jesus said, when we lose our life for His purpose. Lose your life for my sake, Jesus said, and you'll find it. But here's the interesting thing. Although we find life by losing ours in His purpose and focusing on His purpose and focusing on others, He focuses on you. You focus your attention on His will. His will is to focus His attention on you. He is this moment seated at the right hand of the Father, daily making intercession for you. Is that awesome or what? So we can all be winners. Now, we got the winner of The Biggest Loser. And by the way, it airs on Tuesday nights on NBC, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Central, all across the country. And we got the winner. Her name is Michelle Aguilar. And she may have to tell me how to pronounce that better. I had to teach her how to say my name, Robinson, because people call it Robeson and Robinson. But she actually knew how to pronounce mine. But Michelle won, and she's written a book, Becoming Fearless. Let me tell you something. The big win was not just winning The Biggest Loser. The big win was overcoming fear and seeing a miraculous restoration of relationship. Would you welcome Michelle to Life Today? Michelle, we're so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
And you've been with some of our friends. You've been with the Women of Faith, and you've been going around and sharing and speaking.
I'm so glad Sheila let me have a night of hers to be here with you guys.
But she really does enjoy coming on Life Today. Sheila Walsh, she's referring to. All the Women of Faith love to come here. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they know we love them so much. And one of the reasons we love them is the way they go around and share the love of God with oftentimes women who feel like, you know, I don't even know if I was loved like I really wanted to be from the time I was a little girl.
If you ever need to hear that you are loved, you show up at a Women of Faith event, you will know it by the time you walk out the door.
No doubt about it. And it's not put on. It's not a show.
No.
It's the real manifestation of the love of God. Yes. All right, I want to hear your story. Now, you, I think, tried to get on The Biggest Loser before you got on The Biggest Loser. Tell us a little bit about the journey and about, I referenced relationship issues because
it's huge. Just getting on The Biggest Loser is part of the story. The beginning of my journey started years earlier. It started with a phone call from my mom. And up until then, you know, I was an 18-year-old girl in a Christian family, raised in ministry, raised to, you know, love and believe God, to do outreach and to reach out to the down and out. And I really, truly believed we were this great, picture-perfect Christian family. And my world fell apart when that phone call happened. And my mom, who calls after I'd started this job for just a week, to tell me that she was leaving my dad. And that just tore a gaping wound open in my heart. And if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't the most terrible thing I'd ever heard up until that point, my mom went on to tell me that she would be taking my two sisters with her and not taking me. I didn't get asked. And I thought, what is wrong with me? What is wrong that you wouldn't want to take me? And you know, I think my mom taught me a lesson in that moment that she never intended to, which was to quit on people before they have a chance to quit on you. Because see, my mom knew that I was a daddy's girl through and through, and that I would have chosen my dad at the end of the day. I wouldn't have chose to go with her, but I still wasn't asked. that was still never addressed.
See, you couldn't even say that without the emotional impact of that welling up inside of you. And by the way, there's nothing unhealthy about that reality. I think that we carry in us perhaps a lifetime gaping hole sometimes. And even though there's been a healing, you still remember. I mean, you still remember what it feels like. I mean, I've told you many times, I was the kid that moved so much that when you pick sides with teams, I was the kid that was always still standing. I didn't get picked. You may think it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. Well, when your parent doesn't appear to have picked you,
yeah.
Like she said, my sisters, but why not me? Okay, it was still a weight, which it's is a whole lot of what came in on you that really...
Well, from there, I remember telling my mom after... You know, coming back from a separation and then her leaving again, that I was going to have to love her from a distance. For me as a child, and I wasn't a small child, I was an adult. And so my very foundation seemed to be completely broken because I put so much of Christ in my family and what I believed was surrounded in my everyday family. And when that was broken and that was severed, I lost it. And so to tell my mom that I was going to have to love her at a distance, I had no idea the effect that it would then have on me, that I would not turn to drugs or alcohol, but that I would turn to food for comfort. You know, as a good Christian girl, I thought, well, this is the safest thing to do. This is the best result, is to just go to something that, you know, people don't look down on. But I ended up putting up a wall of weight to protect myself from the outside world because I didn't trust God with my pain. I trusted Him when things were good. I trusted Him when life was going the way that it should go. But I didn't trust God when I should have.
So you felt like God had really disappointed you and it hadn't come through because there you had the perfect family.
Right. I wanted to believe and I wanted to trust God, but I felt let down. Mm-hmm. I felt like God had let me down. I felt like we had done everything right and still my life was spiraling out of control. And so I just was like, I'm going to keep God at an arm's distance, never too far away, hoping that I wouldn't go so far that He couldn't come find me. But I was going to try to fix things. I was going to try to fix my own life. I wasn't going to trust in Him with all my crazy chaos because obviously He was too busy with other things because my family was broken. And so for 6 years, my mom and I would go without speaking. You know, and that was part of the journey of getting to The Biggest Loser was this disconnect that was made. And as a family unit, we were severed. And so I became that daddy's girl, and I picked up where I could with my family. I poured my life into other people, never putting myself first. You know, I wouldn't have chosen that life for me necessarily if I'd have looked at myself at, you know, the age of 10 thinking what my life was going to be like. But I was going to do whatever it took to keep my family as intact as possible, all the while not ever really saying, God, what can You do with my life and with my family? And I was a Christian. I was a good Christian, or so I thought. And so to have the chance to go and be on The Biggest Loser for season 5, my dad and I actually auditioned together. We were going to go on and we were going to be this team, he and I, because we were already a team as a family. We already went through life every day together. But you know what? We ended up being the first alternates. And I think it was in God's divine way that we didn't end up on there together. But there came an opportunity for season 6. And I thought there was no way I was going to go after it again. I had already been disappointed by something else in life. You know, I thought, there's just no way I can't do it. I can't put my heart back out on the line. But they persisted and they called and they sought me out. Well, when I went to ask my dad, you know, he had already used up all that vacation time. He had already used up all of the, you know, favors.
The producers of Biggest Losers pursued you to say, well, come back.
Yeah.
And I guess, did they think it might be you coming back with your dad? Because
right.
I guess,
absolutely.
Did they want a family situation? Is that what they were looking at?
Well, they were
what?
Looking for teams. All teams. I knew was that they wanted a team situation. And I thought, well, if I don't have my dad, I don't have really anybody.
And he couldn't go because of schedule.
He couldn't go because of schedule. It was my little sister's senior year, and he wanted to be available to her. But, you know, my mom and I had just started to make communication just months earlier. And it was my dad that said, why don't you ask her? Why don't you and your mom try this together? Because, you know what, it could just be the thing to help rebuild your relationship. And I called her up, and I asked her, and she said yes. And I'll tell you what, I thought that I could go into The Biggest Loser with my own agenda, my own way of controlling things, and that we could just kind of fly under the radar. But God had other plans. Because when I showed up, I wasn't just on a teammate situation. We were in the family edition. Everybody had a loved one beside them. It may have been their enabler, but it was either a parent and child or husbands and wives. So you know what? Everybody was already a built-in team. Mm. And I looked over into my corner and I brought the one person that was the source of my pain, the one person who had left me. And I didn't know what to do. But I thought, I can smile my way through it. I can just stay quiet. And if I just don't, you know, rock any boats, I'll be okay. But you know, the weeks got harder and harder and harder. You know, it's a physically demanding show. You know, you're talking 4 to 8 hours a day of working out.
You would have to be.
It's physically exhausting. But I was emotionally exhausted. I was emotionally exhausted from just pretending to be something that I wasn't. And even on the show, trying to pretend to be this happy girl, all the while just wanting to run for the gates as fast as I could to get out of that place. And it all fell apart after I chipped my tooth. I felt like they had beaten me up. I was exhausted. I was tired. And the last thing I needed them to do was chip my tooth. It was the last thing I had left was my smile. And they broke it. And I thought, that is it. I'm out of here. You guys have had your chance to mess with me. I am done. And I went to the producers and I went to my mom and I said, I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I was doing the very thing that she had done to me all those years ago, what I perceived as things must have gotten too difficult, and she left. Well, I was saying things are too difficult and I'm going to leave. And it went on for about 8 days that I tried to leave the show. I told everybody, I'm leaving. I gave an exit interview, 3 hours. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And the last thing they did was put me on the phone with my dad. And my dad did his very best to encourage me, to say, we're all okay. Do this for you. We want this for you. And still at the end of that call, I couldn't say whether I would stay or go. And this was only week 4. I'd only been there 4 weeks and I couldn't take it anymore. And that night, you know, I was 26 at the time. I'd been saved and in ministry my whole life. And that night, God intervened on a reality show in my life in ways that I could have never imagined. Because I went to bed and I just cried out to God and said, God, what is going on with my life? I am trying to quit a show. I'm trying to walk away and nobody will let me leave. At night as I was laying there, I cried out to God and said, God, do you want this for me? Do you want me to be here? Do you see all the pain that has happened? And it was then that proper verse came to my heart. And it was Proverbs 3:5-6. And I thought, oh, lean not on my own understandings. If I acknowledge you will make this path straight. I don't have to do it. And it was like I had known the scripture my whole life. And for the first time, it became real. You know, and I looked across the way and my mother's passed out asleep. And I said, God, but I am still so hurt. And he said, Michelle, lean on me and I will make the path straight. I will give you the strength to love and forgive your mother. It's not about you and her. It's about you and me. Do you trust that I will be there to help fix your broken heart? Do you trust that I am walking through this journey with you? You are not alone. And I'm laying there and there's, you know, a microphone under my nightstand and there's a camera in the corner of my room. I'm the most exposed I've ever been in my life. And I am a shy girl. And this was not what I had in mind, to fall apart and have a come to Jesus moment on a reality TV show. But it worked for God. He found me and he got me. And all of a sudden those cameras didn't matter. That microphone didn't matter. I bawled my eyes out. And I mean sobbing. That kind where I woke up the next day, like they're sealed shut, the eyes. They were so puffy. I had a headache from being just so exhausted from those tears. But God changed my life forever that night. I woke up the next day thinking, I don't know if that was a real moment that God and I have. But as I looked to my mom, I knew it was. Because I thought, I don't see the pain anymore. I see that God has asked me to love and to honor her, and I will do that. My mom is not perfect. I'm not perfect. God has forgiven me of so much. And I looked at my mom new that day, and I thought, I'm going to walk out love and forgiveness every day with my mother for as long as it takes. Wherever she's at in life, wherever I'm at in life, God is faithful to walk me through this relationship. And, you know, God would use so much of my time on The Biggest Loser to teach me things about he and I, about our relationship. And I thought, this was not what I thought the show was about. But I found myself telling the whole world, I'm going to stay and I'm going to be on the show. And whether I'm here for just a week or if I make it all the way to the end, I'm going to do it. Because I had made a promise to God that night that if all of this worked out, whether I went home in a week or made it to the finals, that he would get all the glory. Because there was no way I had any strength left to do it. I didn't have the heart to do it. I didn't want to win. I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to be called The Biggest Loser. I mean, that is not a glamorous title. There's nothing glamorous about it. But you know, God gets all the glory because God did something miraculous during my time when I had no phone, no TV. I had a tiny, tough trainer yelling at me every day to keep moving forward. But God showed me love. He showed me forgiveness. He showed me how to walk through the fears that I had in life and that he was trustworthy and that he was going to be there and I wasn't alone. And so he's continuing to make that path straight.
You were looking at the broken relationship, the bad relationship as you defined it and could describe it with your mother. And he really showed you where the relationship problem was.
Right. Where the real break was.
Where the real break and the real breakthrough had to come. And it was with him, so that when you recognize that your responses to their improper actions were equal, if not more damaging, than what they had actually done. That was by no means are you approving the decision that was made. But here you came into a right relationship here, and something wonderful happened. Now, what happened to you and your mom? Anything positive there?
Absolutely. You know, I think because we had our time on The Biggest Loser, we had common ground now. It wasn't just about, you know, a broken family anymore. We have something we can talk about. We have something we both relate to that nobody else in our family does. So we have a new relationship that we're able to build on. And most importantly, we have the knowing that never again will 6 years go by where we don't talk and we don't communicate. The door is open to talk about everything now.
So you actually won The Biggest Loser. And out of that, and this is why you've told the story, you want to help people be the greatest winners.
I want them to lose whatever's holding them back.
There you go.
And as I listened to your story, I thought one thing that really jumped out at me was that God met you where you were. He said, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And when you could finally hear him saying that how much he loves you and that he will never leave you or forsake you, that wherever you go, he's going to be right there.
And he used something so simple, a scripture he knew that I knew well. I thought for years it was just a parenting technique that my dad would use, you know, that I was not to lean on my own understanding, but maybe his. Mm-hmm. But I realized it's such a greater message when I lean on God. And, you know, we titled it Becoming Fearless. I want people to know I'm not fixed. I'm not perfect. This is an ongoing journey for me. There are still fears and challenges I face daily. But I'm becoming fearless because God is right beside me.
And he is beside you. And you can become fearless and you can become faithful. And you become literally a river releasing the life and love of God. You release the river. Would you say thanks to Michelle? Wonderful story. Thanks to God. And I really hope all of you understand that you may have tuned in today just so you could get the primary relationship that affects every relationship correct, and that's the relationship with God. And he loves you so much. Can I make a suggestion to you? By the way, you see the telephone number there? It's always there if you want someone to pray with you. I mean, the thing that is always a fact, no matter what we're doing, no matter how critical a situation or a crisis might be that we want to in some way have a positive effect on, 80%, oftentimes 90% of all the calls, which many times is 2,000 calls or more a day, they are calling because they say, I want a relationship. I want somebody to pray. Don't hesitate to call. But let me show you something that I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. If you really want your life to begin to have meaning, and I've said this, and it's not a trite statement, it's the truth. You want your prayers answered. You want your life blessed. Become an answer to someone's prayers. Become a blessing. Live to bless, and you have a blessed life. Now, I want you to watch closely. I want you to see joy that love produces. Then I want you to watch what happens that can be so easily corrected. Please watch this. Very brief. Watch it. know that for the past 10 years, at least that long a period, Betty's prayer that the line to feed the children would always be longer than the line that needed the food, only recently. And I understand the economic pressure, and I'm praying and pursuing God and His will to lead us back into the blessings of a nation and a people that honor God and don't mock God. But I understand the economic tightening. But nobody understands it better than the missionaries when they have no food. Betty and I have been there when the desperation, when children have stood waiting long periods of time, and they see children come away with a bowl of food, and then all of a sudden, when they think they've reached it, there is no more. That has to be one of the most tragic, sad sights I can ever attempt to describe. Impossible for you to understand what it feels like when you're there. When the missionaries are there, they've left their comfort, they've planted themselves in the midst of pain and suffering to alleviate it in love, and they run out. It's been happening. Father, correct it. Provide. Provide the needs of every viewer and provide for these precious ones that the missionaries are so anxious to assist. In Jesus' name, listen to me. Here's the answer. Can you feed three? $30 for the next month. Could you feed 10 children? $100. Now think about what I'm saying to you. A single gift keeps feeding for the next months. $100, 10 children. And I must ask you, there may be some who say, James, I understand what you're talking about, because I know some people that they're having some challenges. I could give 1,000. I could feed 100. If you can, do it, please. Please do it. But each one of you, because I don't want you to think this doesn't matter. $30, $50, three children, five children for the next months. For those three, for those five, it's a matter of life. How do you describe how great that blessing is? It's a life blessing. We want to send you for any gift to help us feed those children. Beth Moore has been many times to the mission field. She and her husband Keith have been among the greatest supporters of our outreaches. And of course, she's on every Wednesday. Join with her. Let's help them. But ask for the book, The Life That Overcomes. These are teachings that Beth has shared right here on Life Today. For those of you who will help us care for 10 children or more, in addition to Beth's book, The 90-Day Bible, the Bible read through in 90 days, incredible reading plan. Many people said, I want to read the Bible. This is an organized plan that will make it really easy and inspirational for you to do it. You will be saving the lives of 10 children, giving them a future, and we're going to put something in your hand that will go straight to your heart, and what a difference. Remember the beautiful bronze, the heart of the Father, for those of you who could make a $1,000 gift or more. Help us take care of 100 children. You'll also receive the books. Please take your bank card. Would you please do this now? So easy to say, well, I'll do it sometime. Would you do it now? Please. Use the bank card like a check. Write a check, make it to Life. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. Thank you for doing that. From the bottom of my heart, on behalf of those children and the missionaries, I say thank you.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately.
Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
Betty and I just express thanks. If you ever get a busy when you're calling for prayer, or you get a busy, we call it to help, be persistent, call until you get through. Ask for Beth Moore's book, the 90-day Bible, for those of you that would help us care for 10 children for the next months. I want to mention again, Becoming Fearless. What an incredible story of restoration of relationships because of a return to the leaning on God understanding and get His wisdom. Michelle's book is in the bookstores. Would you join us in thanks to Michelle? Michelle, thank you for sharing the story. You are no loser. You're a winner. And God wants you to be a winner, and He will lift you up, and we can be overcome. Thanks for watching. Everyone is rightly concerned about who will lead our nation, who will fill the various offices. I've written a commentary that I believe God put on my heart. It's critically important. It's titled, What Not Who. We must understand the what to find the right who and insist the right what is done. Go to the website, get a copy, and pass it on.
But we've got to pull the plug on pain and say, and embrace what God has given us.
Hope when the hurt runs deep. Next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.